from the love that saved my life. Not afraid where it takes me, 'cause I'll never leave my side. Oh, I've got something to believe in, faith that's more than a feeling. I could have gone another way and now I see it. Where would I be, where would I be without Jesus? I've got hope for the healing, love that leads me to freedom.
Bye. Okay, yeah. They can't, yeah. They can't hold me. All that pressure weighing on my brain. I confess up front like I don't feel a thing. Still ain't maintained, running from the old me. Every time I drop a tune, they try to tone me. Four stars, they don't wanna see none. Tryna beat one, that might get you beat stung. Lie with all, that's when the fleas come. That's the thirst you gotta flee from. He hold me. I'm not gon' sit in politic and passionate like I'm vicious. I'm not gon' swap his vision for the tack and hollow riches. I'm not the type of Christian who put hope in politicians. If they say I ate, here go my plate, now wipe the dishes. Tribulation chase me, still I'm gon' sleep like a baby. He get turned up, he get burned up, my foe might fillet me. He skate through one face, some days my peace tried to escape me. My scapegoat, he raised me. Crazy, I just lie down.
Before the alarm, sunlight replacing the stars, finding my phone in the dark, putting my life on restart. So many places to go, asking what's best, I don't know. Each hour's an hour you make, so I know it's gonna be strange. One more day, I believe that it's gonna be all okay with you. Tell me what's next, or just how much time I got left. Hourglass half full of sand, but I know it's all in your hands. There is no me, only us. It's only in you I would trust. Yo, goodbye to fear and the doubt. Hello to your love reaching out. Oh, like one more day, wanna show that I'm gonna go all the way with you.
Thank you for Welcome, Vineyard. How are we doing today? We're glad you're with us. Let's stand if you're able. Let's worship together. Lord, we invite you in this place. We give you all of our praise. We sing, I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a find our hope. In you we find our being. So you are the Word.
Beautiful name. a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. You truly have no rival. It's not what we're able to accomplish. It's not what we're able to do, Lord. It's all due to what you did upon the cross. Living a perfect life, King Jesus, dying a sinner's death, and then raising up to life again. You fulfilled scripture and prophecy. You did the unimaginable, and you keep doing the unimaginable in our lives, Lord. May we remind ourselves how faithful, how miraculous, how sovereign, how good you've been in our lives through the years. Even if we're walking through something right now that seems impossible, Lord, that's second nature to you. We're going to introduce a new song to our church this weekend. As we do, I wanted to share this scripture with you. Psalms 28:7 says, "The Lord is my strength and shield. I trust in him with all my heart. He helps me. My heart is filled with joy. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving." And maybe right now, you don't feel like you could sing a song of thanksgiving. You can't say thanks a lot right now. I want to encourage you as we sing this next song to lay down whatever's been holding you down, whatever's been a burden. Say, "Lord, I'm going to trust in you." It's how sweet it is to know that you're with me every step of the way, that you never distance yourself, you never back away from my circumstances, my conditions. That, Lord, your love is unconditional and your presence is consistent in my life. Let us choose to trust in God rather than in our circumstances. So as we worship today, may we have a song of thanksgiving because we know who our God is. Amen. Let's worship him as we continue today.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of his spirit and washed in his blood. And what he did for me on Calvary is more than enough. Oh, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Perfect submission. This is my song. I'm praising my risen King and Savior all the day.
Sing this part of the song. I want you to be reminded of where you once were, and then you found Jesus. That when you were at your darkest moment, you reached out to Him, and He did not do anything but run to you. We sing.
When I sought the Lord, yes, He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard. And He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. Sing a song.
So turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. In the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Let's sing that one more time, church.
Well, turn your eyes upon Jesus. wonderful face.
Thank you, Jesus.
And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that all we need to do is keep our eyes on you. Lord, thank you for your compassion. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for when we sought you, when we looked for you, when we were at the bottom, Lord, you took your hand and you pulled us out. And you keep on doing it. So we thank you. We love you. Be with us here today. Draw near. And it's in your mighty name that we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Thank you for worshiping with us this weekend. You could have been in San Diego. You could have been in Flagstaff. You came and hung out with us on Labor Day, and God bless you. We're so glad you're with us here at the Vineyard today. At this time, say hello to somebody next to you. Tell them happy Labor Day. If you're watching online and you did go to Flagstaff for San Diego, we're glad you checked in online as well. Let us know in the comments where you're watching below. No guilt, no pressure. We just want to say, hey, welcome to the Vineyard, everybody.
North Phoenix. How's everyone doing this morning? I hope that you guys have been having an amazing weekend so far. And whether you guys are here with us in person or you guys are watching us online, we are so, so happy that you guys were able to join us and to just make this a part of your weekend. Now, if it's your guys' first time or if you're a guest, my name is Perla. I'm one of the VC Youth small group leaders here. Shout out VC Youth. And like I said, if it's your first time or if you're a guest, we are so, so happy that you guys were able to join us. So if you guys can, go ahead and take out your cell phones and text the words VC Guest to the number 77411. That's VC Guest to 77411. Or if you guys can, go ahead and fill out the little connection card in your guys' bulletin, and then that way someone from our team can personally reach out to you and welcome you here to the Vineyard. Or if you guys are watching us online, let us know down in the chat if it's your first time. And then after service is done, if you guys have any questions, you guys can head over to the information center. That way you guys can meet our amazing and friendly team that would love to answer any questions that you guys might have. We also have our VC small group fair after the service. So if you've been looking for a small group, today is the perfect opportunity. We have all of our small groups and all of our small group leaders out in the lobby. So if you guys have been looking for a small group, today is the perfect chance. Let's all turn to the video screens and check out what exciting events we have coming up here at the Vineyard.
Hola, VC!
In a few weeks, guess what?
What?
We are going to be celebrating water baptisms. So, if you are a follower of Jesus and you have not been water baptized yet, then that is your next step. What is this from Nanting?
VC Midweek is starting this week. On Wednesday, all of your favorite events and ministries are going to be hanging out. You're not going to want to miss this. There's so much cool stuff going on.
That's right. Women's Evening is back. So join us this Wednesday for our first gathering since summer with worship, connection, fellowship with other women. Plus, daily child care available for only $5. Adios.
There are so many ways to give to God here through the Vineyard, and when we give, it's just a part of what we do here regularly to serve each other, to bless our community, and to also love on the world. So thank you to those of you who faithfully and generously give to God through the Vineyard. We would not be the church that we are without you guys. Now may I please have the ushers come forward as I pray for the offering and for God to also speak the rest of today's message. Heavenly Father, we praise you and we say thank you for allowing us to gather here together, Lord, and worship you and hear from your word as well. I pray for the speaker, Lord, may we just hear directly from you today, God. May we just take away whatever it is that you want us to hear today, Lord. I pray for the offering, may you just bless it, bless the giver as well, and may we just use it to further the work that is being done in your kingdom, Lord. In your name I pray, amen. Remember, you guys can keep up to date with everything going on at the Vineyard at our website, vineyardnorthphoenix.com, or any of our social media pages, whether it's Facebook or Instagram. Don't forget to check out the small grouper, and I hope that you guys enjoy the service. Bye.
Hey, welcome everybody. Hope you're doing well this Labor Day weekend. Glad you're here. I want to welcome those of you watching online as well. So last weekend, we started a brand new series out of the book of Revelation called Breaking the Code. If you weren't able to be here last weekend, please make sure that you watch that online because it really sets a lot of the foundation for this study. If you have a Bible with you, open it up to Revelation chapter 1. We're going to begin in verse 4 in just a moment. Before we do that, though, I want to ask you a question. Do you think that we're living in the last days? Tell somebody around you, either answer yes, no, or I don't like it when he makes us do this. All right? Are we living in the last days? Yes, no, or I don't like this. Go ahead, tell somebody around you. Some of you are not obeying. Go ahead. Well, I want to answer that question by showing you a verse in Acts chapter 2. You know, in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fell on those early followers of Jesus, and all kinds of chaos broke out. They started speaking in tongues, all kinds of stuff, and people were saying, "What's going on? Are you guys drunk or... you know, what's happening?" And then Peter stands up and he addresses them and he cites an Old Testament verse, Joel 2:28. And this is what Peter says in Acts 2:17. He says, "In the last days," if you're taking notes, underline that. "In the last days," God says, "I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." Now, when is God going to pour out his spirit on all people? In the what? Last days. And Joel said that prophetically, a sign of the last days or the arrival of the last days will be the Holy Spirit being poured out on all people. He says, when you see that, you will know that we are in the last days. And when did that happen? It happened 2,000 years ago at Pentecost. And so the last days have been going on for 2,000 years. And look at number one in your outline. Biblically, the idea of the last days is that all has been done that needs to be done in order for Jesus to return. Therefore, it could happen at any time. Jesus could come back at any moment. So what do we need to do? We need to be alert. Jesus told us we need to watch and pray. Now, the big question that most of us, I think, would like answered is, well, how long will the last days last? You know, when will Jesus come back? And we talked about last weekend that Jesus says, your job is not to speculate when I'm going to come back. It's not to predict when. Your job, he says, is to watch and pray. And so our job is to serve God in such a way that when Jesus does return, we're ready. And then John goes on and exemplifies this in Revelation 1, starting in verse 4. This letter is from John to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Grace and peace to you from the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, from the sevenfold Spirit before his throne, and from Jesus Christ. Now, last weekend we talked about this shows the Trinitarian God that we worship, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He is the faithful witness to these things, the first to rise from the dead, and the ruler of all the kings of the world. All glory to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by shedding his blood for us. He's made us a kingdom of priests for God his Father. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Now remember, I told you last weekend, John is writing this from the island of Patmos. John is in prison there. And how do you think John was probably feeling when he was living on Patmos? Now, I want to remind you that John was known as the best friend of Jesus. His nickname was the one who Jesus loved. John saw Jesus do all kinds of miracles. Some heal the sick, cast out demons, multiply food. John had preached in the name of Jesus. John had planted churches. John had written the gospel that bears his name, the Gospel of John. And where did all of that land John? On the island of Patmos. Look at verse 9. I, John, am your brother and your partner in suffering and in God's kingdom and in the patient endurance to which Jesus calls us. I was exiled to the island of Patmos. Why? For preaching the word of God and for my testimony about Jesus. In other words, the reason John was on Patmos was because he was imprisoned there for doing the work of God. Now, most scholars believe that John was about 90 years old at this time. So John, picture this, is here, a prisoner on a rock in the middle of the sea. He can't help build the church. He can't preach the gospel. He can't really use any of his gifts. All the things that you and I enjoy here, worship, fellowship, teaching, all of that, were cut off from John. He was in tribulation. So you know what Patmos is? Patmos is the place of disappointment. It's the place where you and I feel alone. And unfortunately, every one of us ends up on Patmos from time to time. You know, Patmos happens when you're cut off from what you love most. Or it happens when you're confused or disappointed in how things have turned out. And unfortunately, you know what? Some of you are on Patmos right now. Maybe you're there because of a sickness. Maybe you're there because of a divorce. Maybe you're there because of a relationship problem of some kind. Maybe you're on Patmos because you're depressed. Maybe because of anxiety. All of us know what it's like to be on Patmos. I certainly do. And you know what my usual prayer is when I'm on Patmos? God, I don't like being on Patmos. Would you send a boat and get me off of this island as quickly as possible? But see, with John, God's plan was not to take John off of Patmos. You know why? Because Patmos was the place where God was really unveiled to John. John says in verse 10, it was the Lord's day, and I was worshiping in the Spirit. And suddenly I heard behind me a loud voice, like a trumpet blast. Now, you know, this is the only mention in the Bible of the Lord's Day. Some of you might know that originally with the followers of Jesus, since all of them were Jewish, their day of worship of the Lord was on the Sabbath, which is Saturday. But soon after, they ended up transitioning the worship day to Sunday because that was the day that Jesus was raised from the dead. And you know, probably nobody else on Patmos knew that it was the Lord's Day, except John. John remembered. And John says in verse 10, it was the Lord's Day, I was worshiping in the Spirit, and suddenly I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet blast. So all of a sudden, John discovers that God is sufficient for everything he needs. God alone is sufficient for everything he needs. And oftentimes in your life and in mine, it's only through times of suffering or pain or disappointment that we're able to come to see God as the only one who can be all sufficient in our life. We begin to see God like we've never seen him before. And then here, John goes and begins to lay out his vision for this all-sufficient God and the all-sufficiency of God to meet our needs, no matter what our circumstances are. And so I want to walk you through what John says about God and his all-sufficiency for us. And remember, I told you last weekend that when you read the book of Revelation, you don't read it literally. If you read it literally, like most of the rest of Scripture, you're going to have all kinds of problems trying to figure out what John is trying to communicate to us. No, you read the book of Revelation figuratively, because John uses lots of symbolism, lots of images to portray biblical truths. And so as we read this, John is using some images for God. And he's painting for us a portrait here, not of God's physical appearance, although it sounds like that, but he's painting for us what God is really like, the character of God. So what is the character of God like? First of all, John says that he has white hair. White hair. Revelation 1:14. His head and his hair, John says, were white like wool, as white as snow. Now, in our day, white hair is generally something to be avoided, right? It's sort of a sign of infirmity or aging or whatever. In fact, the only thing worse than having white hair is having what? No hair. Absolutely. So how come God has white hair? I mean, couldn't God get some just for men hair color or something? I guess it would be called just for God hair color. I don't know. But you know, the Bible has a different view of this. Look at Proverbs 16. Gray hair or white hair is a crown of glory. It is gained by living a godly life. You know, this verse is becoming one of my personal favorites as I get a little older. But you know, one of the references for God that's found in the Old Testament, found in Daniel chapter 7, is the title Ancient of Days. God is the Ancient of Days. Say it out loud. Ancient of Days. See, what does that mean? That means that God has all the wisdom associated with aging, and yet God never ages because he's eternal. And another thing about God is that God is never surprised. He's never surprised. In fact, he says in verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God. Now remember, this was originally written in Greek, and the Greek alphabet, Alpha is the very first letter, and Omega is the very last letter in the Greek alphabet. For us as Americans, English speakers, we would say that God is saying he's the A and he's the Z. He says, I was there at the beginning and I already know the end. See, God knows who won the last election and he also knows who's going to win the next one. God knows who won the last Super Bowl. He knows who's going to win the next one. The Father alone knows exactly when Jesus came the last time, and he alone knows exactly when Jesus is going to come again. Why? Because he's full of wisdom. So here's a question. Do you ever need wisdom in your life? Is anybody alive? Does anybody need wisdom in your life? We all need wisdom, don't we? Do you ever ask God to give you a little bit of his wisdom whenever you need wisdom? Because not only does God possess wisdom, but he wants to give it to us. You know, James is the half-brother of Jesus. He tells us in James 1:5, but if any of you lacks wisdom, what do? You ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Do you ask God for wisdom on a regular basis? I want you to know, as your pastor, I do. All the time. Just about every day. So I hope sometime this week, you will pray the wisdom prayer. God, would you give me wisdom about this? Maybe you have a family situation that you don't know what to do. God, would you give me wisdom? Maybe you have a work situation. Maybe you have a relationship situation. God, would you give me wisdom? Remember, God is the Ancient of Days. He's full of wisdom, and he wants to give it to us. Second part of the character of God is that he has eyes that are like flames of fire. That's the second part of verse 14. His eyes were like flames of fire. Now, the first image of God, white hair, is about God offering us infallible wisdom. The second image, number two, is God offering us reliable correction. See, he purifies us. He has eyes of fire. And the truth is, there are certain pairs of eyes that when they are on us, we tend to behave differently, don't we? You ever been driving on a freeway and all of a sudden you see a certain kind of vehicle? And all of a sudden your driving habits begin to change immediately, right? You slow down because you realize that's a police officer. Different pairs of eyes. You know, mothers have eyes like this. In fact, we say mothers have eyes where? In the back of their head. Now, when we say that, we don't literally mean, I mean, that'd be repulsive, right? The mothers have eyes in the back of their head. No, what we're talking about is that moms just have a way of knowing what's going on. And when mom has her eyes on us, it changes the way that we behave. Well, John says, hey, the eyes of God are always watching. Always. And they never miss a thing. He says they're like flames of fire. And by the way, fire in the Bible usually has to do with purification. See, God wants to purify our character. He wants to refine our character in such a way that what people see is the character of Jesus in us. And so he has eyes that are like flames of fire. Let me ask you, do you live your life in such a way that you really know that the eyes of God are always upon you? Because they are. They are. Third part of the character of God that John talks about is that God has feet as bright as bronze. He says in verse 15, his feet were like polished bronze, refined in a furnace. Now, this is another play off of the Old Testament. I told you that John oftentimes uses, you know, images from the Old Testament that his original readers would be very familiar with. Many of us are not, because we are not that familiar with the Old Testament, but his original readers would have been very familiar. And in the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 2, King Nebuchadnezzar, king of the Babylonians, he had a dream about a giant figure made of powerful metals. This figure was made of gold, silver, bronze, iron. In fact, everything about this figure was powerful except for its feet. This figure had feet of clay. And this giant statue represented different kingdoms that were in power. First, the Babylonians. Nebuchadnezzar was the head of gold. But then on, the different kingdoms that were going to rule the world. And every one of those kingdoms were very powerful, except they all had a vulnerable foundation. And that's what the feet of clay was about. And because it had a feet of clay, every kingdom ended up being destroyed. Destroyed by the kingdom of God. Because it was built on shaky ground. And the point of the dream is this. Anything that is built on anything other than the kingdom of God is built on shaky ground. So for your life and mine, that means if you try to build your life on money or success or on your career or on your looks or on your charisma, one day it's going to be gone. But see, God has feet made of bronze. You know, bronze is an interesting material. It's made up of two things, iron and copper. And iron is really strong, but it rusts. Copper doesn't rust, but it's pliable, bendable. And so bronze combines the strength of iron and the endurance of copper. And so look at number two. The idea of this image is that God is one who stands on an unshakable foundation. No feet of clay for God. In fact, there's an old hymn that some of you know. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is what? Sinking sand. Look at number three. The idea of this image, the feet of bronze, is that God offers us unshakable peace when our life is built on Him. Is your life built on God? If God is not your foundation, then you're building your life on shaky ground. God is the only unshakable foundation. Fourth part of the character of God John talks about is that he has a voice like mighty ocean waves. His feet were like polished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice thundered like mighty ocean waves. Now, what's that about? Now, remember, of course, in that day, there was no such thing as an amplification system. And that means that nothing could get much more powerful than the sound of mighty ocean waves, right? If you've ever been to the ocean, you know you can't scream over ocean waves. Even if you do, nobody can hear you. Ocean waves are very powerful in their sound. Let me ask you, by a show of hands, how many of you are parents? Doesn't matter how old your kids are. How many of you are parents? Raise your hand. Okay, if you're a parent, you know that kids have two kinds of voices. They have an inside voice, and they have what? An outside voice. Now, which voice is the voice that parents prefer? The inside voice. No parent in his right or her right mind, you know, wants their kids to be, you know, giving their outside voice all the time. Well, you know, God also has an inside voice. God sometimes speaks to us in what the Bible calls a still, small voice. God sometimes whispers to us. But other times, God uses an outside voice because he does have one. And God knows how to use it. And one day, you know what's going to happen? Everybody is going to hear the outside voice of God. And so look at number two. The idea here is that God speaks with authority. He speaks with authority. Does God speak with authority in your life? Is he really the authority like we looked at last week? And does Jesus really have a sword in your life coming out of his lips? There's a wonderful phrase back in verse 5. It says, he, Jesus, is the faithful witness to these things, the first to rise from the dead and the ruler of all the kings of the world. So Jesus is the first to rise from the dead. You know what that means? That means that Jesus is the initiator of the resurrection. He's the first to be resurrected. That's going to be a long line of resurrected people. And then there's a wonderful phrase. And he's the ruler of all the kings of the world. Now, there are lots of kings and lots of rulers in this world, right? But Jesus is the ruler of them all. Jesus is the ruler of every person of power. And they may not know it yet, but there's coming a day, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, we don't know, but there's coming a day where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That day is coming. But you know what? Before you and I get too excited about this, we need to remember that that means he rules over us too. And as wonderful as those words are, they bring up this question. Look at number 4. Are you fully submitted to the authority of God? Are there any sinful habits whatsoever that you are not willing to give up? When God speaks to you in that still small voice, or God speaks to you through the scriptures, do you actually obey him? Yes, he's the ruler of the kings of the earth. But he also wants to be the ruler of your life. And you have to say yes to him on a daily basis. Fifth part of the character of God John talks about is his right hand. His right hand. Verse 16, Jesus held 7 stars in his right hand. Now, I told you last week, and in John's day, the right hand was considered to be the most noble hand. Being the right-hand man to the king was a very noble thing. A soldier with a sword in his right hand was considered ready to fight. So the right hand was the hand that counted in those days. Now, some of you are left-handed, and you don't like that. So I have a pastoral word for you. Too bad. It's in the Bible. Jesus was right-handed. His right hand, Revelation 1. No, I'm kidding. It does not mean Jesus was right-handed. But it says he holds 7 stars in his right hand. 7 stars. And then look what it says a little later in verse 20. This is the meaning of the mystery of the 7 stars you saw in my right hand and the 7 gold lampstands. The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches, and the 7 lampstands are the 7 churches. So what John is saying to the churches is this. In the midst of your suffering, in the midst of your persecution, in the midst of your pain, you need to know that you're not going through that on your own. No, you are perfectly safe in the hand of God. Even though it may not feel like it right now, you are perfectly safe in the right hand of God. And so look at number 3. The image here is that God offers us absolute security. So whenever you're going through a difficult time, remind yourself, you're not going through it on your own. You are in the right hand of God. And if you ever feel afraid, which we all do, or insecure, which we all do from time to time, wouldn't you like to have the kind of security that comes from knowing that you actually live in the right hand of God? I mean, the Apostle John had lost everything that people looked to for security. He'd lost all of his relationships. He'd lost his job, his ministry, his money, his title. He's all alone on this island. And all he has is God. And he discovers God is enough. Have you discovered that God is enough for your life? Are you looking for anything else for security in your life except God? If you are, you need to let it go. Because eventually it'll disappoint you. Let me give you one last part of the character of God John talks about. Is he had a face that was like the sun. And his face was like the sun in all its brilliance. So Jesus has a face that's as bright as the sun. And we kind of even talk about things that way today, don't we? You know, when people go to a wedding, sometimes they describe the bride that way. Oh, she just looked so radiant. You've heard that before, right? And by the way, people never say that about a groom at a wedding. You know why? Because nobody cares what a groom looks like at a wedding. A groom is just a prop at a wedding. You need to know that. Look at number two. The image of God's face being as bright as the sun in all its brilliance is an image of absolute holiness. And probably the best way for us to think about this is that in all of God's eternal existence, God has never uttered an untruth. God has never had one petty thought. He has never acted out of spite or out of malice. God is completely incapable of ever being unfair or mean. God is absolutely holy. And when human beings come into the presence of an absolutely holy God, their responses are startling. You know, one time the prophet Isaiah, he saw God high and lifted up in Isaiah 6, and he said, "Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live in the midst of a people of unclean lips." And the apostle John has the same kind of response. Look at it says in verse 17, "When I saw Jesus, I fell at his feet as if I were dead." See, the fact is, the vision of who Jesus really is, when Jesus comes back, is going to be an extremely fearful thing. But not nearly as fearful for those of us who know him personally. Look at these verses. John says in verse 17, "When I saw Jesus, I fell at his feet as if I were dead, but he laid his right hand on me." There it is, the right hand. And he said, "Don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I'm the living one. I died, but look, I'm alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and of the grave." So I want you to imagine you seeing Jesus, because one day you will, and falling at his feet as if you were dead. And then he takes that right hand and he reaches down and he touches your body. Imagine what that would be like. You know, a Christian writer, Richard Mouw, he wrote about this and he related it to something that happened to him in kindergarten. And he writes this: "One day in December, a visitor came to my kindergarten. This visitor was wearing a big red suit with a splendid sash. His head and his hair were white like wool. On his feet were boots, black as coal. His voice was like the sound of many waters, and he said, 'Ho, ho, ho. I'm here to see who's been naughty and who's been nice. Who will come and sit in my lap?' All of us were terrified. Santa stood in our midst, and the glory of Santa shone all around us, and we were sorely afraid. Our teacher got out of chair and said, 'Okay, I want one of you children to come up here and sit on Santa's lap.' It was the great white throne judgment right there in my kindergarten class. Nobody moved. None of us little kids would move. And then Santa looked right at me, and he said, 'Come and sit on Santa's lap.' I was terrified. What I didn't know is the guy who was playing Santa Claus was actually a man from my church named Mr. Cooper. I knew Mr. Cooper and I liked him a lot, but I didn't know who he was. So I came up to Santa and Santa reached out and picked me up. I was trembling. I didn't know what might happen next. Santa suddenly stopped and he pulled his beard back just for a second. And he whispered, only loud enough for me to hear, "Rich, it's okay. It's me, Mr. Cooper. Don't be afraid." So John, he sees the Ancient of Days, the Alpha and the Omega, the rulers of the kings of the earth. And he falls down at his feet like a dead man. And Jesus reaches down with his right hand and touches him and says to John, "Hey, John, you don't need to be afraid. It's me, Jesus. I'm the one you sailed with and fished with and laughed with. You don't need to be afraid. It's me." And the Bible says that one day you are going to see God in all of his glory. The Ancient of Days, the Alpha and the Omega, the rulers of the kings of the earth. And you may fall down as a dead person at his feet. I don't know. But I do know what he's going to say to you is, "It's okay. It's me, Jesus. You don't need to be afraid." And in verse 18, Jesus says, "I'm the living one. I died, but look, I'm alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and the grave." That means that when we do see Jesus one day, he's going to say to us something like, "Hey, by the way, remember death and the grave? Remember that thing that everybody on earth was so afraid of? I have the keys. I got them from my dad. And that gate is going to unlock. And no one who follows me is going to be trapped by death because I have the keys." And by the way, he's going to say, "Death, it's actually no big deal. I've been dead, didn't slow me down one bit." And then Jesus says one last thing to John. He says, "So John, you need to know, you have work to do. You have a book to write. I mean, what do you think, John? Just because you're 90 years old and you're trapped on this island? Just because you're being oppressed by the most powerful government in the world? You think just because of all that, you're going to get a vacation? Not a chance, John. I got a lot of work for you to do. So grab a pen and let's get going." And you know what? Jesus is saying that to you too. Whatever your Patmos might be right now, doesn't matter. The Ancient of Days says to you, "Don't be afraid. It's me, Jesus. And I have work for you to do. I have a church for you to build. I have lost people for you to reach. I have a whole bunch of hurting people that I want you to feed and clothe. I got a bunch of work for you to do. So don't be afraid. Let's get going." That's what Jesus is saying to every one of us. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Would you close your eyes with me just for a moment? Open up your heart to God. And maybe in your heart, you don't have to say this out loud, but maybe in your heart, would you just say, "God, is there something that you're wanting to say to me right now through this message or through something else? God, I want to obey you. You know, maybe what God is saying to you right now is you really need wisdom. You need to ask me. Ask me for wisdom. I'm happy to give it to you. But you have to ask." Maybe some of you are realizing your life is not really built on Jesus Christ. And if it's not, you need to realize today that it's built on sinking sand. The only unshakable foundation is on Jesus Christ. And some of you need to say, "God, I want to build my life on you. I used to build my life on you and I've gotten away from it. I want to come back and build my life on that unshakable foundation of Jesus." You know, maybe God's speaking something else to you right now. Would you just say yes to the Lord? Maybe you need to take a moment and just thank God. No matter what your Patmos is right now, you really are safe in His right hand. Even though it may not always feel like it, just thank Him and say, thank you, God, that I'm in your right hand. Remind me of that when I'm going through difficulties. Maybe God has been speaking to you through His still, small voice. And you haven't really been saying, yes, Lord. Maybe you need to do that right now. Maybe there's something that you'd like somebody to pray for you personally about before you go. I'm going to dismiss the service in just a moment, but if you want to stick around, we'll have a trained prayer team, a ministry team up here at the front. We'd love to pray for you. Next weekend, we're going to continue. I'll continue with our study in the book of Revelation. Hopefully, we'll continue to learn together. I'm learning a lot through this study, as I hope you are as well. And don't forget, out in the lobby, we have our small group fair going on. If you're looking for community, we have all kinds of small groups. We have young adult small groups. We have married small groups. We have Bible study small groups. We have all kinds. But if you're not in a group, it's a great time to go out, meet some people, check it out, and hopefully you can get connected with community as well. Would everybody stand? I want to pray a blessing over us before we go. Lord, thank you for meeting with us right now. And I pray as we go our separate ways this Labor Day weekend, Lord, that you would bless each one of us. Bless us, keep us, cause your face to shine upon us, be gracious to us. Lift up your favor upon us, God, and give us peace as we go. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Say hi to some people on your way out. God bless. Have a great rest of your weekend. See you next weekend.
Things that we do, send your spirit down, come save us from people. It felt like we lost our way, I see we need a lighthouse. It's getting so dark outside, can't see, we need a light now. Talking about you, talking about me, talking about who we gonna be, what we gonna do, what they gonna see. You know that there's more than meets the eye. I know you're asking why, trust them with your life and just say a book by its cover, call me lucky. Only still alive cause he's so good. Yeah, he turned my morning into dancing, not laughing, telling everybody that he's so.
If you only my turn. Yeah, he reached down when I'm feeling low. Then he carried the weight when I
wasn't strong.
Yeah, told me I'm yours when I
feeling low.
All I'm really trying to say is
he's good.
Yeah.
The God who is by my